All right. Thank you all for letting me be able to come and talk to y'all tonight. For those of y'all who don't know me, I am Sam Boschel. I'm a senior at Harding University, and I've grown up here my whole life. And Tony told me to introduce myself to y'all because y'all haven't seen me with my new haircut and probably haven't seen my ears in a few years. So, but again, thanks for letting me be able to talk to y'all. Last spring, I was elected in my social club at school to be the spiritual life director for this year. What that basically means is that I coordinate the devotionals at meetings that we have. I fill in for those devotionals whenever something falls through or I can't find someone. I organize small and large prayer groups for the guys in my club. And I check on people whenever they post on the prayer wall about having a tough time or having any prayer requests. So each year, our president of our club chooses a theme to go along with that year, with all the devotionals and everything that we have, all the events. And last year, when Tyler Clemens was president of our club, our theme was Men of Purpose, which worked perfectly for us. And so this year, we have a new president. Tyler graduated, so our theme for this year is Leading Like Christ. And when I heard this, I thought this will be the perfect opportunity for me to impart all my vast wisdom, knowledge, and experience that comes from being 21 with other 18 to 21-year-olds. So basically, the blind leading the blind. So instead, I tried to think of great leaders that I have seen and try to take a look at who they are and why they are the way they are. So naturally, I thought of the person that comes to everyone's mind, and that's Captain America. For those of y'all who don't know, Captain America is a fictional comic book character who's been in several movies recently. He's set, I should say, in the 1940s during World War II, and he starts out at 5 foot nothing, 90 pounds, and but he has this really great heart. He doesn't like being a bully, but he wants to fight for his country in order to protect the people he loves. So that attitude kind of wins him, I guess you could call him steroids would be the best thing. He basically turns into 6 foot four or something and has incredible strength. And all this natural ability that's given to him so that he can go off to war and fight for his country and protect the people he loves. And he goes on after a long time, and he's saving the world constantly, it feels like. So, of course, ever since I saw the first movie with him in it in high school, I've been in awe of this man. Now, the other day, my roommate, Matt, and I got into a debate on the value and merit of Captain America. Now, Matt's side of the argument was pretty devastating. He said that Steve Rogers, who later becomes Captain America, was essentially an unintelligent musclehead. The only thing he was good at was beating up people like a playground bully. You didn't see him performing extremely great or magnificent acts of strength like Thor, another comic book character, or intricately complex feats of intelligence like Tony Stark or Bruce Banner, who turns into the Hulk. He pretended to have a set of morals, and even the powers that he had were given to him by someone else. They weren't his. So basically, in Matt's point of view, Captain America was basically one small step above the biggest kid in a fifth grade classroom. Now, knowing me, this is too much for me to take just laying down. After all, I look up to this guy too much. Matt has just insulted a very large part of my life. For instance, if you were to walk into my dorm room, you'd see a Captain America poster on the wall, a Captain America shield on my bookshelf, both Captain America movies on my shelf with all my other movies, a Captain America action figure that I got for Christmas on my windowsill, a Captain America painting, a Captain America hoodie, tank top, and t-shirt. Yeah, I think that's all of them. And I even had a Captain America costume that was made for five-year-olds from Walmart that I thought would be a good idea to wear to a dodgeball tournament. And that wasn't a good idea, by the way. So it's safe to say that hearing this was almost physically painful for me, and I began to feel my blood boil after hearing this. Because all the traits that were being bashed were traits that made me look up to him. The fact that, at his core, like I said, he's just a regular guy like you and me. Sure, he doesn't have the intelligence of some of the other comic book characters, but instead, he has a mind for military strategy and a strong martial arts set. He's kind and doesn't look down on anyone. But the quality that sets him apart most, in my mind, is his ability to lead a team into action. And very much unlike Stark, who is Matt's favorite, he possesses humility, self-sacrifice, and a sense of honor. The intensity that hit back with my argument on Matt kind of took me back for a second. I mean, after all, I was arguing for the sake of a comic book character, a guy who wasn't even real. And I thought to myself, what chord is being struck in me and other people to look up to this character so much? Over this year, I've been having to think of what the word leader means. And when I think of the word leader, this picture comes to my mind of a man of strength in the thick of danger, leading his men. This guy knows how to keep the respect of those he's leading. He knows what to do at just the right time. And through impossible circumstances, he manages to save the day every single time. No one questions him, no one beats him, and he always comes out on top. This is the kind of larger-than-life leader that I think many of us aspire to be. I know I do. But many times, I don't think that we feel like we can ever manage to actually achieve this. But what if I told you that this may not be the kind of leader that God calls us all to be? I'm not saying that there isn't a time for big, great things to happen, but I also don't think that God has in mind for each and every one of us, has that in mind for each and every one of us in our life. When thinking about the men and women that I have looked up to and seeing the examples that Scripture provides, I see a much different picture. Instead of great strength to fight with, I see great strength to take a stand. Instead of men relying on their own limitations, I see men stepping out of the way to lean on a limitless God. Instead of achieving great victories over hated enemies, I see men who love no matter what. The first few chapters of the book of Daniel tell about four young men. I think we know who these men are. These men were taken from their country that they were born in and placed into a very different kind of culture. And because of this, they had to choose who they wanted to be. Chapter 1 tells us how these four men were to be trained in the Babylonian nobility. They were taught the language and learning of this dominant empire and were given orders by the king as to what they were supposed to do and what they were supposed to eat. Now, on the one hand, these foods went against the laws that their God had given them, but it's not like they could really refuse to take this because this was the best that this country had, and refusing this order from the king would mean a death sentence for them. Ultimately, these four young men had to choose to stand for what they believed in. And going on two chapters, we see these same young men, minus one, facing a similar yet higher stakes test. A new statue of the king has been made out of gold, and whenever music is played, every subject of the king has to bow down and worship. Whenever the time came and the music played, sure enough, every knee bowed except for those of these same three. Daniel 3, verses 13 through 18 says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, 'Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands?' Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king and said, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer to you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this burning, fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up.'" Instead of attacking Nebuchadnezzar for his arrogance, all these men say to him is that they will act on what they believe in and will do nothing else. I don't think God intends for us to pick a fight at every chance we get. Instead, I see leaders in the kingdom of God are the men and women who stand firm in him whenever the world wants us to give ground. Now, I kind of learned this from in high school and from other literature classes that I have, but in most good stories throughout history, you see that the protagonist, the main character of the story, is unwilling to step up and live up to his full potential because of his own self-doubt or something else that's holding him back. For example, Simba won't return to Pride Rock because of the guilt of killing his father. Harry can't face Lord Voldemort because of too many around him having sacrificed their lives for his sake. And Frodo can't destroy the ring because, after all, he's only a little hobbit facing a dark lord with untold orc legions. One of the men that has profound influence in at least two major world religions felt like he couldn't step up to the plate either. And we see that in Exodus chapter 3. He didn't think that he was fit to be used by God. He doubted that even his own people would respect him as a leader, and he felt slow with speech and tongue, which I can kind of relate to on that one. However, ironically, even though he didn't feel capable of leading a group of people, he had no problem arguing with the God that made him and the people, which is kind of funny to see. But out of all the people in Scripture that I've seen, there's only one man that I can think of that gave a good example of being able to be willing to step out of the way so that God can work. The book of 1 Samuel tells of the son of the king of Israel. This prince, Jonathan, had everything going for him to make him the leader capable of ruling God's people. He was intelligent and had a set of morals. He was a very capable warrior. And if he was anything like his father, he may have had an imposing physical build. Most importantly, he was in line, next in line for the throne, by all accounts, and the crown should have been his, not some lowly shepherd boys from some backwoods town. Yet we see that instead of fighting and killing and causing strife with this other new upstart, we see that he steps aside and let God work the way he wants to. God doesn't always pick the most confident or capable to lead, and he may not work the way we expect him to, maybe even passing over those with natural ability, like you may have seen here. But either way, a true leader is one that is willing to set himself aside in order to let God work the impossible, to do his own thing. Now, standing firm in what you believe in and stepping aside to let God work are extremely valuable qualities in a leader. But if this is all we have, we often do more harm than good. The quality that matters most in order to lead, I think, is having God, is having Christ love in us. 1 Corinthians 13:2 says, "If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not love, I am nothing." We have plenty of examples in history where people have tried to lead in God's name without love in their hearts. For example, we see the Spanish Inquisition, who tried to keep a unity of faith by torturing, executing, and invoking fear. We see crusaders who are trying to grant freedom to the Holy Lands in their eyes through war. And in our own American history, we see European conquistadors or conquerors who taught the Native Americans about God by robbing, killing, and enslaving them, however that works. And we still hear about people trying to lead through imposing faith today. We see it in the news a whole lot. But this isn't what God has in mind for his people. The men and women that I respect most and I'm willing to submit to are the ones that I know care about me the most. They are the ones who are willing to get their hands dirty and sweat alongside me. They know my weaknesses and choose to see the best in me. They are willing to put my well-being ahead of their own, even if whenever it comes down to it. And I think this is the love that Christ has ultimately showed us on the cross. He knew our weaknesses and who he was dying for, and he did not hold it against us, but allowed himself to be taken to death. And I think if we truly want to lead like Christ, then we cannot do this without the same unconditional love that Christ had for us in our hearts. I found that a leader without love is not fit to lead at all. And whether we are comfortable with it or not, God has called us to be leaders in this world till he comes back. This may not mean that we take down the enemy with a star-painted vibranium shield, but I think it does mean that we take a stand and don't give ground on things that matter. We step aside and let God take control and work the way he wants to. And we love others just as Christ loved us. It does not matter whether we do this behind the scenes or in the public eye. We don't necessarily have to be a church minister to lead. We don't have to have the biggest personality. We don't even have to be able to have the ability to speak in front of others. I think God has given each and every one of us our own niche where we can work for the glory of God and serve those in that specific area. A quote that I found that kind of sticks out to me was written once by J.R.R. Tolkien. It says, "Some believe it is only great power that can hold evil in check, but that is not what I have found. It is the small everyday deeds of ordinary folk that keep the darkness at bay, small acts of kindness and love." If there is anyone here tonight who would like to begin leading like Christ by putting him on in baptism, or if there's anyone who would like to come and get prayers from their family, their church family, then I invite them to come as together we stand and as we sing.